This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and thanks for joining the award-winning To Hunt and Back podcast, proudly sponsored by Old Slaughter Bar and Kingfisher in Hull. I'm your host Nathaniel and tonight I'm joined by Will, Tom and Joe. How are you guys doing?
Oh, hi.
Hello, oh, I'm doing great.
There wasn't a delay for me, but there was a delay from you today.
Yes, I definitely didn't hear you say anything and I definitely wasn't doing a bit.
Oh, right, okay. But I'm thinking tonight was another good intro from me. My new sort of timer. I've got a 30-second timer for the intro because the video is 30 seconds. I think that's working pretty well. Something else that worked pretty well was the new sort of dogged, determined defensive spirit we showed against Sunderland on Friday night. So we've got some synonyms of big here. It was, I think, a behemoth, immense, huge, epic, grand, momentous, massive, sizable, ginormous, colossal victory for the Tigers. Will, I'll go to you first, as you were the the only person to predict that we were actually going to win the game. What were your thoughts on
Well, that's not a shock, is it? Victory? You know, that's not a shock.
Well, I can't be as negative as everyone else is on this, to be honest, all the time, especially last week. 5-0, nice one, you divvy. It was a fantastic dogged performance, and it was a performance that I think City fans have been worried that isn't possible with this side. And I think it showed that the character of the side, there is plenty to come from. And I think when you've got so many players out injured and players away on international duty, to pull out a performance like that against a side who are decent and did a similar sort of job on us only a few weeks ago, in a way, it's nice to get a good result in that way. I think it's the easiest way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Personally, it felt very similar to the Middlesbrough game. Again, a northeast team away from home, didn't play very well, but got the 3 points. And I mean, we thought that was going to be a turning point, but I think, and we'll discuss it a little bit, soon as well, why this is going to be such an important victory. But Rossini said it was the biggest game of the season, Tom. So, is that the biggest result of the season for you?
Yeah, I did say that after the game that it was the biggest result, but I think it was going Sunderland at the right time. Like, Michael Beale is under serious pressure. He was under serious pressure as soon as he took the job, because obviously Sunderland fans were disappointed when they sacked Murborough. They thought it was going to get like Will Still, and instead they got Michael Beale. And then, so straight away he's under pressure, and now he's lost like 3-6 after we beat them. So I think it was so important to get that win. If I'm being honest, I wasn't too positive going into the game, like in terms of how we played in recent weeks. And like Will said, like we didn't think that sort of dogged performance was possible, but we just showed like we can have two shots on goal in the entire game and come away with the 3 points. And obviously that was largely thanks to, well, it was thanks to Carvalho's, you know, piece, well, that shot, you know, deflected in, like, just a bit of piece of quality that we've lacked really in recent weeks since the lad's been injured and obviously Philogene's been out. But it just shows that, like, you know, the quality we've got at the top of the end of the pitch, that we can sort of only have one or two chances in the game and come away with a victory. But yeah, it was a very important result, and the way it came about was, I'd say, it was deserved. I think, you know, we obviously defended really well, like Louis Coyle pocketed Jack Clark, you know, like he did in the home fixture, but Christie came on and ruined that and obviously allowed him to score. But yeah, I was happy with the performance, like obviously everyone else.
Yeah, less entertaining than the 4-0 victory from last season, but defensively, that sort of more cohesion. And I guess you had players like Slater and Doherty, and who's not played every game this season. So, Joe, did it remind you defensively of last season a little bit, where they just put their bodies on the line?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's noteworthy that out of all of the bookings we got, neither of them went to the centre halves. It was for the whole team, really.
Well, like seven bookings, wasn't it? Was it seven or eight? Seven?
I'll have a look. So it was...
You watch, the EFL will probably do us in for failing to control our things, I imagine.
It was Coyle, Toufan, Doherty, Morton, Allsop, Slater and Jacob, who got booked. If Greaves gets another one, he gets a two-match ban. So that's something to look out for, because then he'll be on 10. But it was a Herculean defensive effort to withstand Sunderland pressure for long, long periods of the game. The only spell where I thought we had a little bit of control in how we expect to have control in the way we play and stuff like that was like the first 5 minutes of the second half, and then it was straight back to Sunderland. But that's what we haven't done this season, do some, you know, smash and grab, basically. We had two chances. One where I think if Louis Coyle hits it first time, it doesn't allow Anderson to get set, and that's maybe a goal, depending on how Patterson responds to it, whether he just naturally sets himself in a position to save it because it's straight at him or whatever. And then Carvalho's effort, which was on target, but a deflection helps it on its way, and sometimes you need to ride your luck. And
it's funny because you think we probably had the two best chances of the game, and they were our only two shots compared to.
Yeah, I think
Sunderland were just very grasping straws whenever they got a chance.
If it's Coyle who plays that ball to Toufan in the area instead of Toufan playing it to Coyle,
he scores. Yeah.
I think he scores. Same goes if it's Carvalho there. But Louis Coyle, across the whole game, for me, I'll remember that as one of his best performances in a City shirt. Because he's had a lot of good ones this year. But him and Doherty did such a good job on Jack Clark, especially when you consider that both of them were on bookings from very, very early on.
Yeah, Doherty, I think we did. Obviously, when we saw the team, we was wondering where Doherty was going to be, but we expected him to be on that right. And he's putting some really good performances there previously. We know he's technically not up to the standard, but what you get from Doherty is, like, obviously 90 minutes running. Obviously, the stamina is unbelievable. Like, he'll always track back. And that's what you get from him. And that's obviously why Rossini played him there. I did question Rossini not starting Ali on the right, but obviously, the way Doherty played defensively, it proved to be a good decision. But saying that, I would like to see Alia sort of get more minutes. I really like him as a player, to be fair. I think there's more to come from him. I know it's like we've said that a lot now, but obviously when he first came to City originally, like, he was electric, I thought. But obviously he was playing up front, so I don't think he'd play there now. But, you know, I'd like to see more from him.
I mean, when he first came in, he seemed to be more willing to sort of run a lot more and challenge the attack. To challenge forward. He tries to do a bit too much now. I think he was a bit more willing to actually go up players before, and I think he's lost it a bit. I think maybe his injuries have scared him maybe a little bit, possibly. But it would be nice to see that Alia from his first sort of season with us back.
Yeah.
That first initial loan spell, back end of the Shotter season, yeah, he was really good then. Basically, we did exactly what well, Sunderland did to us a few weeks ago and what Norwich did to us last Friday. Norwich had about 4 or 5 yellow cards themselves. That's a part of the game that we've really not done this season. And then I think, yeah, I think you're delighted, basically, to get 7 yellow cards rather than concede the chances we would have had if, you know, I mean, Enshep's commented in that Clark was hardly in the game. That was because every time he got the ball, we cut him down. But
he was hardly in that Boxing Day game either. He was hardly in that Boxing Day game until Kyle went off, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
you know what you're going to get from Clark. You know he's going to drive. Like, obviously, as soon as he gets the ball, he'll drive. But Kyle did so well to like restrict him because he always showed him on the outside instead of cutting in on his right. And obviously, that's how he scored his goal on Boxing Day, where obviously Christie allowed him that split second to cut in and shoot. Whereas every time Clark was in a position sort of cross it in was always on the bar line. So then we always had like Greaves and Jones there to defend it when the ball came in, or obviously also to claim the ball. So I felt obviously the way we defended there, even Matty Jacob was on the other side. Like he made, there was a point, I think, I don't know when it was in the game, but a cross came in and obviously the two, obviously Jones and Greaves miss it and he has to be there, obviously tucking in. And if obviously he's not there, Sunderland player's got a free shot on goal, so I felt Matty Jacob had a great performance as well. I do still think we need to address the left back position. We'll probably go into that later, but Matty Jacob showed against Sunderland that, you know, he is obviously a championship player. That's the capability to play this level. Yeah, exactly. So that, we still need a left back, but I think Matty Jacob showed there that he's fine as cover.
Mm-hmm. Just on the Birmingham game quickly as well. Fairlong was another one, and that Rosinha said, and people who were at the game have said, Fairlong came in and looked decent. But
then got injured.
He clattered in the first 20 minutes and then knee. So it's a shame for Fairlong, really, because he's had to wait and be so patient for his chance.
He does get injured.
But I agree with everything you've said on Matty there, Tom. Deserves his shot. He's had to be patient and he's taken his chance, definitely.
Yeah,
what was particularly nice as well was it was nice to have a decision go our way for once, because it was never a corner that we started. But it was nice
to give a goal kick or maybe a penalty.
Yeah, the ref seemed happy. Mm.
We'll say a penalty, but
whatever they could. I really thought we was going to get a man sent off, to be honest, the way the ref was booking our players and not booking Sunderland players. But it was nice for us to have a
I think I saw a stat that where something like the 18th in the league for most fouls per game.
The most fouled team in the league.
And we've got, we're 18th in the league for fouls committed, but we've got something like the second most yellow cards of any team. Yet we're top for
Greaves is fouls Greaves, Serie, usual culprits. Like Serie, he's had a ridiculous amount of yellow cards this season.
In all competitions at the start of the season, Traore had 4 in 4 games.
Yes.
Mm. I think a lot of them, I feel like.
Make a lot of cynical challenges, don't we? Make a lot of cynical ones where. Teams
also kicking the ball away and things like that.
The laps had 6. We
had a lot of those.
And then Greaves is on 9.
Mm. Hasn't someone or a few players have? Wasn't it Greaves and say that we were scared we're going to get, you know?
Yeah, they avoided the amnesty when it was the 5-star, the 5-card one, which was back in November. I think the amnesty came in. But yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think there is 1 at 10. There is 1 at 10 yellow cards in the EFL, isn't there? There is.
Yes. Well, if we believe Sky's commentators, they said that Greaves gets banned if he gets one more yellow card. But then, based on other journalism this week,
Sky's commentators, that could be completely rubbish.
It could be rubbish. And then, I'd rather it be Sky commentators than TalkSport, though. Liam.
Oh yeah, I forgot Liam had been sacked and replaced by his dad.
Leroy Rosinha, his mum / mother-in-law, I don't know which one it is from Hull.
I'd just like to say we'd still be delighted to appear on the new TalkSport show that's dedicated to the TalkSport fan network, which we are proudly part of, if anyone from TalkSport is listening in. But yeah, it's Liam Rosinha.
You.
So I was pretty shocked. I mean, Tom, you've mentioned it. Usually Lukilo starting. I mean, again, going forward, he didn't do anything. But I think him, he was part of the defensive display. And I think that was a good example of the sort of team cohesion that we had against Sunderland, which we really haven't had. Only the seventh clean sheet of the season. I'm pretty sure we had double that last year, or it felt like we'd had a lot more under Rossini. A lot of nil-nils as well. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the corner there. Really nice bit of striker instinctive play from Sharp to chase the lost cause. I thought that was the best part of that. And we earned that bit of luck because, I mean, the last two games, especially with the refereeing decisions, it was nice to go that way. Should we just talk about the Carvalho goal? I'm not sure how I'd pronounce that, but Wonder got volley to the corner.
Carvalho goal, it's two words.
Carvalho goal. Yeah, but, you know, you could make it a...
Trying to make it fun.
Yeah, he's trying. Yeah, I mean, Sunderland didn't really have many chances. They blasted all their chances over the bar as well from outside the box. That Carvalho volley was...
There's just certain players, like, obviously in football, they just have that sort of knack of covering that moment of brilliance. And obviously Carvalho is that sort of player. Like, he did it for Fulham countless times when they got promoted, and he's hopefully going to continue to do that for us. You know, I think obviously when we get Philogene back as well, Seri, I think... Well, it's looking good. Like, I think before the game was all a bit down in the dumps, but it's mad like how 90 minutes of football can sort of change your mood completely. Like,
fickle some fans can be, genuinely. Some fans can be ridiculous. Like, before the game, you'd have thought we was in a relegation.
Sunderland.
Oh, both. Like, you'd say both sets of fans, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that Sunderland fans are getting on Beale's back very quickly.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, it's
true, but they were basically against the appointment as soon as it happened.
Yeah, but it's understandable though, because you look at Mowbray, like the job he did. Like, if you're going to replace him, at least replace him with an upgrade, not someone that's downgrade.
He was doing fine for him. It's like Eustace at Birmingham. Yeah. Nothing wrong with what he was really doing there. Maybe Sunderland could have improved. Definitely could have improved. But Mowbray's an experienced Championship manager who can walk into most jobs.
He'll drag Birmingham
Birmingham will be fine. But yeah, you're placing with Beale, who had a good start at QPR. Then he turned down the Wolves job, saying, I crave loyalty in a sort of person. And a couple of weeks later...
Then joined the Rangers.
Yeah.
He had a good season there.
And he got sacked relatively quickly from Rangers. That's such a weird choice. It's not an improvement. It is the main thing, and that's the issue.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's why, like, I think we was going there exactly the right time. After this loss against Ipswich, obviously it's not a bad result for them, like, in terms of they played decent on the last 2-1, but was going at the right time, because I knew, like, as soon as it's important we get, like, an early goal, like, just to sort of get the fans on the, obviously, Beale's back. But obviously, as soon as we scored, like, later on, you could sense, obviously, in the stadium, like, obviously, fans were just exiting and there was obviously chanting Beale out and stuff like that. So I felt like it was so important for us to get that goal, because I knew that it would just... They were just turning on the players' backs, and you know, it's unfortunate for Beale, but he knew what he was getting himself into. I think, like, he knew it was going to be hard for him to do better than Mowbray. Like,
his comments about being a head coach and not a manager as well were so strange as he took the job. Because if I remember correctly, he said something about I'm not the manager, I'm just the head coach or something like that. Which, when I read it, I thought that's the
Before he's even got the job.
It's the strangest way to try and endear yourself to a new set of fans I've ever seen.
So if there's an issue, it's not all me, is what it reads like in hindsight.
Well, shots on target. I've got the stats here. Sunderland, 15 shots, three on target.
Three on target, was it, right? I can't remember.
They were just shooting from outside the box. They were just shooting outside the box. And Ballard had like a free. Their best chance was that Dan Ballard's header, like free header, probably should be scoring. But that's it.
Also, probably had to make one decent save really all game, properly decent save.
That Trey Hume on it, that strike, it was a strike.
That was just sort of volley bounce to him, edge of the box. It wasn't even a chance they properly created, was it? It was
just over Allsop's head, so he didn't have to make much of it. But it was still probably the only big save.
Kind of towards him, wasn't it? So.
Do we think Allsop will keep his place for Millwall?
No.
Panda's coming.
Hard to say. You don't think he will?
You think he'll ruthlessly drop Allsop?
I think it'll be Allsop to start with, then Panda on the bench, Ingram relegated to third choice.
I think Ingram could easily be gone by the end of January.
Well, yeah, good point.
I mean, based on his saves against Birmingham, though, I'm not sure who'd have him.
The first time I watched Birmingham's first goal, he's in perfect position just to catch it there.
But parries it back, doesn't he?
He's parried it back.
Straight back.
It's not even parried away, is it?
Parried it straight back into the path of Stansfield, who, when you give... It's like... It's easy chance for Stansfield, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not got much to do with it. But I kind of agree. I think he'll probably show faith in Allsop because obviously he was his choice before Panda. He'll give him that, and maybe he'll eventually swap them over and bring Panda into it. It's hard to say at this point. It depends what happens in training.
So is this? If I'm being honest, I don't really know much about Panda. But I'm assuming he's a ballpoint keeper, like what Rossini wants, like to be able to play out from the back. I know Allsop's that as well, but. Obviously, Fortuna City had centrals in there. They'll tell us more about him, but you know, he seems like a decent prospect.
That's why he's a young keeper. But he's also got plenty of experience at first team football as well, which is quite handy. He's under 21 international. He's played in decent competitions already at this point. I don't know massively much about him either, but it feels like one who maybe. Next season will be our first choice for certain, it feels like. And maybe this season, but I think next season he'll definitely go into it probably as first choice.
I'd say that. I mean, just a month or two ago, we were saying that a new goalkeeper was sort of a priority before the injuries.
That was partly because of the injury thing, I think, as well, wasn't it? Because we didn't know how long Allsop was going to be out for. And he actually came back relatively quickly.
Yeah, he was back on the bench like two games later, wasn't he? So
yeah.
I don't think we're going to be spending money on him in January, and we're already after him in the summer for him to not play. I think Allsop has been decent, but started the season well last few weeks. Both Ingram and Allsop, I'm not 100% confident with them anymore. I think Panda coming in, spending money in January, where the money as well, you know, the budgets are so tight with the FFP. I think maybe maximum one game to give him a bit of time training, but I think Rossini will definitely have him starting. I don't see him be on the bench.
We've spent £1.5 million on this guy. We're not just going to have brought Ivor Panda in to sit and be third choice, are we? He's going to make his way into the first team picture very, very, very quickly.
Supposedly, part of the reason we got him so cheap was because of Adjun's previous ownership or co-ownership of Fortuna Sittard. And it was kind of a bit of a make-well, some of it. Whether that's true or not is anyone's guess.
I was supposed to go in the other direction, wasn't he? But I don't think anything materialised.
Which is a shame because we'll get on to the reason for that in just a little bit. But that will potentially be the fourth goalkeeper Ingram's been dropped for in the last three seasons. So I think, Ian asked for a transfer. We don't know that. But yeah, I think two goalkeepers is probably enough.
I think bringing Panda in now is to let Lotatala go out on loan. And the reports earlier in the window didn't suggest that either Ingram or Allsop were going to leave. That there were going to be three well, first choice goalkeepers, really. Ingram started the season as first choice, and he could well end the season or leave at the end of this month, we're thinking now, as third choice.
I think he's a good goalkeeper, but if, as I said, that's a fourth one on the pin drop for in three seasons, I think, you know, time's up. He's had enough chances. He's always started the season as first choice goalkeeper, so probably best for him to find game time on loan to a League One club at the end of till the end of the season, or move to another club.
Ingram's probably he's a great League One and a decent lower half championship keeper, I think.
He's solid, but in terms of the way we play, we can't rely on him anymore, can we, really?
Contract up at the end of next season as well.
Yeah, you'd rather cash... Well, you probably won't get a decent fee for him, but you'd rather cash him now to let him go on a free. Well, obviously in the summer, like, you know. So probably what... If he doesn't depart January, you expect he'll depart in the summer, so...
Allsop's contract up at the end of next season, actually, as well. We do have options on both of them, but we've got... All in the goalkeeping department, we've got Allsop, Owen Foster, Lotatala, and Ingram all out of contract next year.
Was it? Yeah. Hander was a 3.5-year contract, wasn't it, as well? So it's a decent.
Hander's 27.
I don't know. I'm not sure on Lotatala, to be honest. Like, I know he's been out on loan, but how old is he now? He's 21. It's 2021. It's like
very young for keeper.
Yeah, he's still very young. Yeah.
The thing for Tim is games, and Cartwright's doing really well out at Grimsby, but the only games Lotatala's played this season are the under-21s losing 6-0 to then bottom of the league Peterborough, who had scored 12 goals all season before they played us, and then the next game getting sent off after 6 minutes for the 21s. So they're the only minutes of football he's had all season.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before he's first choice anywhere, isn't it?
In my head, if we have three keepers, to me, in my head, they are Pander, Allsop and Cartwright going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And Allsop's in his early 30s now as well, isn't he? So Cartwright, give him a couple more seasons out on loan.
Yes, obviously Cartwright doing well at League Two level, then perhaps send him out to League One next season. If club's interested, then see where it goes from there. But he seems like the most promising from our young goalkeepers, definitely. So,
100%.
So, yeah, Ivo Pandor, permanent deal from Fortuna Sittard. I mean, we don't really know much about him, but I think he'll be into the starting 11 pretty soon. Venegre's loan still hasn't been confirmed to be cancelled, but that might just happen. When we get Lepak in.
But it is.
Yeah. I think it's just... It will be confirmed, but it's already done, isn't it?
It'll be confirmed when we sign another left-back, I think. Day or two before we announce the new left-back. Be it Ryan Giles, be it not Ryan Giles.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to Verona in Italy, allegedly?
So, that's what I've read.
That's the belief, yeah. Hellas Verona.
Yeah. So we've been linked to Hungarian left wing back Callum Stiles, but that's been poo pooed in the press. We have been linked to Luton's Ryan Giles, who I think he's been on loan at Middlesbrough, Cardiff, and Blackburn last few seasons.
Eight loans he's had. He's at Wolves.
A lot.
And now obviously permanent at Luton, but obviously 11 assists in the Championship last season, the most of any defender.
He's had 21 in the past two seasons.
It's incredible. But it's good for a midfielder, let alone a left-back.
That's the thing. So what he brings, like, you'd be foolish to turn it down. We're obviously up against Leeds to bring him in. But it says that we're winning the race currently. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But obviously, we definitely need him at left-back. We know that going forward, he's brilliant. There's probably question marks there defensively, like there was with Vinagre. But I think given what he's achieved at the Championship level, definitely would be one of the best defenders, obviously, again, at this level. So I think, we'd love to bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Jai's and Philogene partnership. Class.
Will it be on loan or permanent? Because the article says Edwards is unwilling to let Giles go, but Luton also need money, and it'll free up money.
Yeah,
to
I don't think it'd be
either or, couldn't it?
Because Luton are obviously they don't want to spend a lot of money, and they're probably in the back of their minds probably thinking that there is a prospect we could go back down, so they want to make as much money as they can on their assets. Obviously Giles isn't first choice at Luton, you know, so it's you'd rather cash in, and you know, so I think it'd be good for us to make it a loan option to buy in the summer if they were willing to sell, and then you know, if we didn't go up anywhere, you've got arguably the best left back in the championship, you know. So it's win-win really.
Yeah. We'll probably have a lot of money on for the team to divvy out. So maybe those loan to option to buys would work. I mean, we don't really know what's gonna happen. But we've also been linked to, I think it's Abdulkari Umur,
Umur, I think you say it.
Irma, okay.
Because he's got the little.
That sounds like that has a proper Hull twang to it.
It does sound Hull, doesn't yes. it? I thought when I first looked at it, because I thought those like Ezil, that's what it comes from.
Yeah, the umlauts above the knee, it makes it like an E sound.
We've got Irma on the wing.
Yeah, very, very good. Vaguely attacking player.
He's meant to be like Bernardo Silva sort of type of player.
So another number 10? What was that number 10 for?
Right wing.
He can play on the wing.
Imagine, I just want to see Seri, Morton, Carvalho, Philogene, Delap. That's six. I'd just love to see that at least once. Yeah, obviously, if we sat on Emer, you know, but...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing. But rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Yeah, I think the rumours were that we basically agreed it and he's coming for a medical. That's been poo-pooed, but we are confirmed to have been in talks with him. But then again, he's also allegedly agreed a loan deal to Fortuna Sittard, which would have been useful if Ali had gone there instead. Then maybe we could have got Emir, but who knows if he wants to go there. He's probably going to have that, like we had the verbal agreement with Benson. You probably have the verbal agreement with a loan deal for like 10 clubs and you get to choose where you go. I'm sure Carvalho, his loan deal was probably agreed with a few clubs potentially. Initially, he would be a good winger, but I don't think he's the winger that we're allegedly really close to that Rossini has sort of alluded to. But I think I'd be happy with that.
Like of the mould of Sinic and Alayar in that he's coming from Turkey and no experience in the league, that kind of thing, for him to be the one that Rossini has been like working on for a while. We'll probably know something one of us do. So he's just sat there thinking, oh, Joe, you've hit the nail on the head. Oh, Joe, you complete tool.
It sounds like a deal that could be done because it's come around that it's a possibility and like just an opportunistic thing. I don't know whether they were planning on getting him. Because he's out of the Trabzonspor team for some reason with his attitude or something.
It was that one that we were linked to on Schotter's deadline day. That massive summer, it was one that on deadline day we were linked to and nothing came of it.
I think we were linked in the summer as well. I think it's just one of those names.
It'll be like Mia Jacques. That's a name that always comes up.
Fraser Campbell.
Or is it? Yeah.
Ben Woodburn.
Oh, God. Not
him again.
But
Abel Hernandez. And then,
oh, for God's sake.
Well, if you're talking about strikers that we won't sign, I mean, I've been trying to think of players that, you know, there's Kiefer Moore, there's Keenan Davis, maybe we'll go back into him. But at the moment,
obviously Moore came on today, so.
As mentioned in his article, Fulham, Rodrigo Muniz.
Yes. Not as a link, but that his availability is available.
Kiefer Moore's available, as is Fulham's Rodrigo Muniz, so we'll see if there's anything in that.
Kiefer Moore's a weird one. I don't know if we play the right football for how he plays. No. We need to be in a bit more direct side to really play to his strengths.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Muniz is just any good. So I'm not thrilled over those.
He'll score 10 goals.
If we sign him, look, good. Obviously good, but yeah. My brain put like 1% of my brain yesterday.
We'll be clipping what you said there when he scores 10 goals, won't we? We'll put it on Twitter.
Of course, of course. But both Ömer and Bozok, who is a striker at Trabzonspor, have been kicked out of the team for various reasons. So I was thinking, oh, we could get a double swoop striker and a winger. But yeah, I don't really see those happening. Are there any other links?
I'm just suggesting send Cynic the other way.
Yeah. They'd want him.
It depends if he doesn't get injured on the flight, are they?
Well, it's his birthday today. Rumour has it, last 5 minutes, he's got injured blowing out the candles on his cake. So
James has commented in, it'll be a Joe Gelhart type. Joe Gelhart, perhaps.
Oh, <no. laughs> Unlikely, I think.
Why is that unlikely?
I wouldn't want him on.
Why?
No, neither do I.
Learning a Leeds player in the same division as us, man. Come on. He's crap as well.
Maybe your fave Dion Charles can go along.
We keep getting linked to him, and that I'm pretty sure it does all come down to me making that rumor up years ago. I'm not sure there's anything in it, but I made that rumor up. I was the first person to discuss that.
Do you reckon all City scouting teams look at scrolling on your Twitter just to see what players you mentioned?
I don't know. I've seen the copyrights.
Yeah.
What happened is I made a fake EFL transfer account. I put that we were in talks with Dion Charles. Holden and Mel put it on their live chat. They put it on the live chat just because they needed something to fill the space. I understand that. 6 months later, The Sun probably saw the Holden and Mel had retweeted my thing. So it was in The Sun. And then I feel like a few years later, oh, look, let's just drag this old rumor up from a few years ago. So I think the fact we were linked to him earlier this month is based on my initial tweet. Yeah. They probably have more links to the club now under Agin than they used to under the LM era, is what I think.
Yeah.
Devante Cole, that's another one.
Devante Cole's been poo-pooed as well, but...
Steve just said no to that.
Yeah. Johnson Clark Harris.
God.
Fraser Campbell.
May as well get the
Elms
at this point.
If you signed
the
player.
Abel Hernandez.
Adama Diomande.
Why don't we just recall Oscar?
I might sell someone out here, so I'm gonna be very careful how I say it. But somebody who I know has said the other day when I was talking about the recall Oscar stuff, I said he's not kicked a ball since October. Said person said, yeah, and he's shite.
Oh,
I'll tell you who said person is at the end, but I'll make a note.
I'll really tell the listeners that one, Jake. You should have just said now.
Don't say. You'll be surprised, is what I'll say.
Liam Rossini.
It was L. Simpson, so that's pretty obvious. Lisa S.
Yeah, sorry guys, but sorry listeners, but I don't want to sell this person out.
Chris has commented in, get Umar Nias from Macclesfield.
Yes.
Come on,
then. Hey, Alex Bruce.
Strange career trajectory.
Alex Bruce is their manager, so we've got a link.
Oh. Yeah, maybe that makes sense.
Let me get the fake account out.
Yes. Yes, Umar Nias.
I'm sick of every other tweet on transfers for Hull City being, oh, Abel. No. You think it'll be good? It will never be as good as it was.
He's not.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. That's how you ruin a legacy. Like when exactly. you bring a player back.
Yes. How often does someone come back and it work? I mean, the obvious one is Dean Windass. Well, yeah, obviously, but how many others is there? It's an exceptional.
Huddleston the other year. That's the prime example. He still.
Chris Campbell came back was decent, but
he was never obviously going. He was never going to hit the what he did in 2007 and 8. Fraser.
It was 10 years or so. Very different player. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Abel Hernandez, in the 8 years since he's left us, he hasn't played a decent standard of football, apart from maybe, you could argue, the Champions League for CSKA. The Qatar Stars League, don't think there's really anything there. Brazil. He's sort
of played in every South American division, hasn't
he? Uruguay, Russia. He's not really scored prolifically anywhere. He's in his mid-30s now, so he lost his explosive pace.
Why would he want to leave his home again?
Yes, that's another point. Why would he, A, uproot his entire family for 5 months to move back to Hull, or B...
One in a Bob Carver's, didn't he, I think?
Or B, like, just leave his family to come back to Hull, where he didn't speak the language for the 4 years he was here, and definitely will not speak the language fluently after 7 years away, to what, come back and sit on the bench next to Billy Sharp?
We've just got a comment explaining why he's coming back for the chip spice.
I'm not sure whether it'll be the chip spice or the Bob Carver's.
I won't lie, I imagine that in South America there's probably plenty of spices he could easily use instead.
Yeah, it's not the same, though. It's not the same. Two things about the striker that I'll say is that, firstly, if we haven't got one and it's deadline day and they still want a striker and Mets aren't happy with Oscar, then maybe Rossini would be at the very least somewhat tempted to recall him in desperation, but it's unlikely. And then the second thing is, we've been linked to Liam Cullen twice. And I'm pretty sure Rossini has said we're not interested in him, but he's a striker. That's all I have to say.
Who is Liam Cullen?
He's at Swansea. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The only Cullen I was thinking of was Mark Cullen. I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Paul has commented about Mark Cullen bringing. Where's he? He's probably some eighth, ninth, tenth division team.
He must be like 37 now.
I'm not sure because he was young.
He must be at least 34 or something.
He'll
like
be in his 30s now.
Matt Cullen's 31 and he currently plays for Bamber.
Is that it?
Well, he was young when he was in the
He was 18 when he scored the Premier League goal on it against Wigan. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think, of course, hopefully we'll have a left back, winger, striker coming back for the Millwall game. I think the most exciting thing, though, is another winger that's coming back to the MKM in 2 weeks' time. And that is, of course, a great Ryan dribbling Lovely. Player. Very exciting. One of the favourites.
Into the punch.
Ryan Longman. Will be
back against Swansea.
Liam Walsh, yeah.
Will you celebrate if Ryan Longman scores against us?
Of course he will.
Ryan Longman, he'll be there with the team, but he can't play as he's on loan.
But you wish
and
he would.
Thank God for us, because he'd be scoring. He would score. He obviously would score. It's just...
You must be...
He's scored once.
You must be delighted at the possibility of signing someone called Ryan again, though. Who plays on the left.
No. Not really. It's not the same... It's not the same. Honestly, to be honest, since Longman's gone, I don't have a favourite player anymore. Like usually, there's always someone in the team. I like our players.
I don't have a favorite.
There's no one who's sort of really, because Longman is still.
What did Longman do? What did Longman do there for you to be like? He's my favorite now. Come on.
I felt bad for him because people didn't like him, and then I said he was going to do well. Then he started scoring goals, and then that cemented it. And you know, I have to defend
him. There was a purple patch up between like November 2021 and like February 2022, where he scored like
right at the end of Grant's tenure.
In terms of favorite players, it's never been based on whether they're good or not. That's never been part of it. It's probably been the opposite. The players that don't get the love are the ones I like, because
I'm the same. Because I grew up, like, David Myler is my favourite player. And
what do you mean? Whoa. You're suggesting that David Myler isn't good?
No, what I'm saying is I grew up in an environment where my granddad sat behind us would just slag Myler off for weeks and weeks on end.
Well, yeah, he got way more undue criticism. Well, funny, isn't it, how Liam Coyle's critics could speak. I've gone very, very quiet in recent weeks.
Very, very quiet. Very, very quiet. But yeah, like for Myler, I knew he's a workhorse. He did the dirty work. But my granddad just would always say he's a donkey. And that for me cemented my like love for him. And like, when I see him, every time I see him now, I'm still sort of starstruck by him. And it's weird. Because I'm not starstruck by anybody. By David Myler, I am.
Yeah. Fair enough. Seriously, though, Philogene back, that's going to be vital, isn't it?
Yes.
Nah, I don't need him.
We call Longman and then we're fine. Yeah. I think I'm not sure whether he'll start. He'll probably come off the bench and then maybe start against Swansea. Depends how much training he's had, hopefully a whole week. He should start training this week, though, shouldn't he? Or
he's
next week?
But
he'll have a few days.
He's been doing running for a while.
Yeah, he's back in training next week, I believe.
Yeah, 2 weeks training before Millwall will probably start, maybe.
A nice little winter break for City, which is desperately needed.
A great time, man. Yeah, like, obviously, come back February the 3rd, and that's when the transfer window shuts, so...
Yeah, we'd have to play until the end of the transfer window, and it means we don't have Southampton in
the
current
like a new signing. It'll be like a new signing because it's the transfer window.
He's already played for us.
Not having to play Southampton, I feel good about that. Millwall, Swansea at home.
In their current form is
very Rotherham, Huddersfield.
They set a record, aren't they?
They're on 21 unbeaten now. 21.
Yeah.
God.
Leapfrog there, Ipswich.
Millwall, Swansea, Rotherham, Huddersfield. How many points do you think we should and could get from there? Because that's a very good run now that Southampton's out of the way.
If, in theory, we have an attack that has Philogene and Carvalho in it.
And hopefully a good striker.
Maybe. How long's Connolly out for now? Is it 3 weeks?
Is it 3 to 6 weeks?
Depending on the severity of it. If he's back in 3 weeks, we probably have Connolly back up front after the Millwall game. So Swansea's, I think, the next one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if our attack is as it is, and Seri come, hopefully the Ivory Coast get eliminated soon from the Cup of Nations.
I think they're doing third.
Which is funny because they're not having a great time and they're the hosts. It's quite a bit concerning for them. I haven't really properly watched it, to be quite honest. Hopefully by that point, though, we've got most of our players back.
They've not even been using him as well.
That's what's annoying the most. He's not been playing often.
Either of them have played a minute.
Yeah. So we've let him go for nothing, pretty much. But at the same time, it's good rest for them, yeah. I think you should be looking at least 9 points from those four games, City, the way they are.
Definitely. At least
I'm thinking 12.
Yeah. But I think
I don't want to say 12 because it's too much almost.
The thing is, you're playing teams that are like fighting at the bottom now. So we all obviously know it's not going to be easy, but if we come and play our best, like we can, then you like you say, you expect a decent total. Like, I'm not going to get carried away there, but
Yeah, I think nine, at least nine from there, that would be solid.
I'd take even seven to most.
And we'll be playing soon after that. We'll be playing after that four games. We'll be playing the rescheduled Southampton game. We'll be playing Leicester again. We'll be playing Ipswich, I think, some point soon as well. So we need to really get. We've got those four games. We really want to. We want to target 12, just to make sure we have that all those points in hand.
Paul is right there. That would be typical City.
That would be a ball right.
Lose to Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. Well, I think before we go and give our predictions for the Millwall game, even though it is perhaps a little bit early, of course, the thing to do, combined lineup.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now, before you say anything...
Whoa, where's Scott Twine? Funny how you forgot to mention him in all the transfer news, by the way.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Scott Twine, gone. Thoughts?
Disappointed.
I'm not disappointed.
Disappointed. Then we've covered it. Time for the combined lineup. I'll read it out for the listeners. No, I mean, we can talk
Pando more about straight in. If you want.
Pando straight in for me. Straight in. I know Allsop's just back off a clean sheet, but straight in. I think I've only got two Millwall players in. Two and a half.
Where's Brian at left back?
Cavalier's
on. Oh, he's making a joke. Yeah, because you spell it wrong.
That's Cavalier.
Is it?
I noticed that as well, but yeah. I didn't want
to. How have I spelled it?
My English degree is just very angry with you right now.
Well, it's not English, is it? It's Portuguese.
No, it's general spelling.
Yes, grammar. Yeah, I'll read it out. Greaves, Jones, Coyle, Morton, Carvalho, Fleming, Philogene, Tufan, false nine. So I've actually dragged him a bit closer to the midfield on the graphic there. And then Longman in brackets. So,
take out Longman. Are you taking Longman out?
So who's in there? Is it Longman? Yeah.
Well. Like, no one, really. You're not going to play Lekilo. I don't think any of the Millwall players are any good.
Oh, yeah?
You could put Carvalho on the wing. You could put Tufan in midfield and Nisbet up front, who's got five goals. Really, it should be Sharp because, you know, he's scored more goals than anyone else in the league. But
yeah, but it depends on how you're doing it. Like, you do it from current, don't you? So.
But basically, I just needed to show that because I wanted to put Longman in it because it's the only chance he'll have all season, to be fair.
Do you reckon, what do you reckon happens in the summer? Do you reckon we sell him?
I reckon he is sold to either a newly promoted team to the Championship or to like Portsmouth or Blackpool or someone like that.
Yeah. I think you'll be supporting them.
I'd go with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, that lineup, I mean, I've only had 2.5 Millwall players in there. I think Millwall, that's got to be, you know, with Philogene back, all these players, hopefully some new signings, some debut goals perhaps, got to be aiming for 3 points there. Do you think we'll get it? Well, obviously you do.
Always. We should have really won against them earlier in the season when we came from behind and went ahead. And in the second half, we just didn't turn up and we really played well. All the way. When you look at the positions that we're in compared to them and the recent form, where our recent form's not great, but neither is theirs. And really, when you're a team chasing the playoff, you need to be beating anyone who's below. You have to beat anyone who's below 15th, I'd say, to actually do it. And I think they're 16th, so yeah.
18th.
Oh, the 18th now, so it's even worse. So even more so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's always that where they're fighting there at the bottom. So, like, it's not obviously Rotherham, they was close to obviously getting a victory against Borough, and then obviously equalised later on.
There'll be a side who'll want to frustrate us, I imagine. I mean, you'd expect that from Millwall. There'll be a side that want to make similar to the Norwich
game. I don't expect us to roll them over.
We'll have to work for it. It won't be a walk in the park, definitely not.
But like the Huddersfield home game, perhaps, or just a typical game?
Norwich game, the Huddersfield game, sort of similar sort of thing. They'll be at us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I reckon we'll have enough. I'm gonna go 1-0 City. Will 3-0?
2-0.
2-0?
2-0.
2-1. Longman breaking the rules and scoring.
And that would result
in to play for us.
That's all right, that's fine by me, because that would result in them having an ineligible player and us being awarded the game 3-0.
That works. Paul's saying 4-1. I'd very much like that, but hopefully some debut goals. And I think after the Sunderland game, before the Sunderland game I was thinking Millwall was the perfect time to sort of have a restart, but there would have been a lot of pressure to get the 3 points there. But after the Sunderland game and hopefully some new signings in Philogene, it feels like time, especially as we mentioned with Swansea, Rotherham, Huddersfield to come, time to build up some momentum. So four City predictions to win there. Pretty positive. Will, Joe, Tom. we'll lose now.
Yeah,
but thank you very much for coming on.
It's so nice to have that break as well. I mean, I'll miss watching City next weekend, but it'll be nice to know that the team's kind of safe for a week and allowing them to train a bit more on the feet and then bringing players back in.
Mm-hmm.
Said Oz asked for an extra day off as well.
That'll number sad. Yeah, and he ain't going to get it. I mean, in a way, he is going to get it because we're not playing next week.
Well, yeah.
Point. Getting Saturday off. And, I mean, we didn't talk about the FA Cup, but I think, as we've mentioned there, having that time off with the injuries we've got, I think it's crucial at this point, isn't it?
I want a cup run every season. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You want the cup run when you're not doing particularly well in the league. Like, obviously, when we got to the FA Cup final in 2014, like, we was, like, 14th or something, like, safe.
We were comfortable.
Yeah, so, like, now you'd just rather just put all your eggs in the basket to get playoffs.
Last year would have been good, but we didn't get him. Shame.
If Harvey Vale scored that chance right at the start, though.
Oh dear! Now Harvey Vale, that's a sort of niche one that no one's really going to remember in a few years, isn't it?
Oh yeah, he only played like twice.
And one was that awful 3-0 away at Swansea. Hopefully, not a repeat of that in a few weeks' time. Well, anything else to mention, or should I wrap it up? I've got Callum Jones scored for Forest Green. Nice little goal.
Yeah, good. Harry Wood's goal last weekend. Against Grimsby.
Yeah, much better that one.
Callum Jones restarting Forest Green season after a fantastic tenure under Troy Deeney.
Troy Deeney's a massive ego, talking about how they're using his using his contacts rather than like wanting him as their manager. Just awful.
Yeah. And then selling out one of your players saying you could have been in the Premier League, but now you're not even National League standard. When, as a result of missing a penalty, he got racist abuse, probably isn't the wisest idea.
Well, it wasn't. It got him sacked.
Yeah, I'll be interested to speak to Callum Jones, actually, when he gets back to see what he thought of his three managers there. Troy D.
The way it's going, it could be a fourth manager by the end of the season.
Well, yeah. Well, Xavi Simons has technically had three at Fleetwood. He was signed by one and then got sacked straight away. Then Lee Johnson came in, Xavi got injured, now he's back here doing rehab, and then they've brought Charlie Adam in, who's, like, I assume Xavi hasn't even met yet.
Not the best landsman for him.
Charlie Adam.
And part of me's hoping Tony Mowbray gets sacked by Birmingham just so we play them four times this season and they have four managers across the games.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be a nice little statistic.
Mowbray is going to get them back comfortably safe, so they'll be fine.
They'll be solid mid-table, won't they, Ben?
Yeah, they'll be fine now. Hopefully, they'll be, for their sake, they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought this was the year Birmingham would finally go down, but they cut Rooney.
If they'd kept Rooney, they would have done. 100%.
Guaranteed.
Probably. It was also, on another side, it was nice to see the Reading fans not take Dion shit for much longer and cause the game against Port Vale to be cancelled. Good lads.
Yeah, well in.
It's a blessing that we was in the Premier League, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
When they tried to take us out. Yeah.
Our owner.
Yep. So, yeah. You know, we're blessed, really. But,
Peter Grieve, who was after buying us when we got promoted back to the Prem against Sheffield Wednesday, is trying to buy Watford currently as well. I think it's just turned 2 years, hasn't it, since Adjun took over. And I think it's been I would say it's been a pretty decent 2 years of having. It's nice to have good earns, isn't it? It's been a while.
It's been crap, hasn't it? Yeah. It's been so crap. It's so shit.
A certain Twitter user whose name begins with H and ends in Appy Boy would agree with you there, Tom.
Yeah. Well, is that person suspended now?
I believe so, unless they've come back under the guise of, I don't know.
It was that Millwall fan. There was some Millwall account giving a stick.
I don't want to give that any sort of coverage because I'm like, oh, but I found it funny that he called us Loney FC when they've got someone on loan from us at them and they have the same number of people on loan at them as us.
Yeah.
I know he was just fishing for bites, but I just found that rather funny.
Was it Ander replied to it?
Yeah, well, but I've given up on Twitter. I'm not tweeting anymore. I can't be asked. So I wasn't going to say anything.
It is a lot. Yeah. Well, thanks to everyone who sent us abusive emails and tweets and rude YouTube comments over the years. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. And we'll be back next week, probably just to do a deep dive into the last days of the transfer window and see who City are going to sign. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.